Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, pleased to bring you this interview with JJ Virgin. Let me give you a little bit of some information about JJ from her official bio, and then I'll give you a preview of what you're going to hear in this information-packed interview about weight loss and how to do it effectively. JJ Virgin is a celebrity nutrition and fitness expert. She helps clients lose weight fast by breaking free from food intolerances and crushing sugar cravings. So again, pay attention here. This isn't just another weight loss gimmick. This isn't just a 12-day transformation. This is really a much more serious conversation she has in her books, and we'll have it here on the show, about the effect that food intolerances have on weight loss. You're really going to start to rethink things. Highly recommend, and I know you will after hearing this interview, checking out four of JJ's best New York Times best-selling books, including her JJ Virgin's Sugar Impact Diet and the JJ Virgin Sugar Impact Diet Cookbook, as well as The Virgin Diet and The Virgin Diet Cookbook. I believe she also references she's got a brand new book coming out in early 2017. We're very excited about. But again, tune in. This is an information-packed show. We are definitely going to have JJ back on the show. But this interview is really, I think, going to whet your appetite. Probably a poor choice of words, but I'm going to leave it there. It's going to whet your appetite to learn more from her about, again, how food intolerances can have an effect on your weight loss efforts and really your overall health. This interview is going to change everything that you thought about weight loss and really, I think, getting fit, especially those of you that are interested in getting fit in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. This is going to change everything you think about that. So tune in and enjoy this interview with JJ Virgin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I have the honor of having JJ Virgin on the show. I'm so excited about this interview. She has everything she's about, as I shared in the intro, is what we want to talk about in the show. I am honored to have you on the show. Welcome, JJ Virgin.
Oh, thank you. So great to be here.
So we want to dive right in. And again, JJ, thanks for making the time. I was so much more impressed as I dove into your website and I looked and I was preparing for our interview and I had already read your books and you've got these, I think if I'm correct, four New York Times best-selling books. And they're amazing. Sugar Impact, we're going to talk about all of that. And I'm writing my notes down and I'm looking and I'm thinking, this woman, everything you're talking about with sugar and food intolerances and the importance of what we put in our bodies and that it's not just as simple as calories in, calories out. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, she's like the poster child for everything that we want to get across to fitness fanatics and newbies alike. So I'm just going to dive right in. I gave everybody a preview of what we're going to talk about, but how did you, JJ, get started, you know, with discovering the impact of sugar, discovering food intolerances, and really everything that you're so passionate about and that you share in your books?
So I was paying my way through graduate school as a personal trainer. I was actually one of the first two personal trainers that I know of. It was me and Body by Jake. And he taught me early on that you need to be a really good marketer because I was like, gosh, I have all these graduate classes. And he's charging a lot more and is fully booked. I better learn marketing. So that was one really important early lesson. But what I realized pretty quickly is that people weren't going to pay me to get worse. You know, I wasn't going to really build a great business that way. And the stuff that I was learning in school was that you need to eat less and exercise more. And you should do loads and loads and loads of cardio and eat really low fat. And wow, I was making people worse. And so I'm not crazy. So I started digging in. You know, I was taking a lot of biochemistry. And I went, you know, this doesn't make sense with what I'm learning. So I went back and started to really research and found all the whole Eastern European training and the way that we used to do diets back in the 1900s. And I'm like going, all right, let's flip this around. Clearly, if this isn't what we're working, let's do the opposite. And so early on, I went, you know, this calorie thing just doesn't make sense. This whole idea of loads of cardio doesn't make sense. It makes more sense to increase your muscle mass. It makes more sense to lower your carbs. So I just started messing with it. And when I first started doing it, it was like I was a crazy person. People were like, what are you talking about? Because it was so much based on the bank account model 30 years ago. Everything was eat less, exercise more. And I really started to look at this whole thing. My platform at the time was weight loss, and it became weight loss resistance, mainly because I was on a Dr. Phil. I was on Dr. Phil for a couple seasons, and we were doing these weight loss challenges, and he had a chapter in his book called Weight Loss Resistance. And the problem I had was that I didn't really follow his diet recommendations, but I had to. So what I did was I tweaked them based on weight loss resistance. So that became my platform, was like, what things we're going to get in the way of you losing weight or cause you to gain weight. And I created a course for doctors. I went around the country teaching it, and I found all the different things from toxicity to thyroid issues to stress and sleep to insulin and leptin and ghrelin issues to sex hormone imbalances and genetics and gut issues like SIBO. And I found all these things. And so I built a whole course around it for docs. And the one I kept getting asked about was food intolerances. So, and I did a ton of food sensitivity testing with doctors in their offices, and I went, you know, I keep seeing the same foods pop up. And it was interesting because, you know, we've all heard of elimination diets, but the foods I was seeing pop up weren't the ones I was seeing in the elimination diets. And I looked at the elimination diets, I go, they're making this too hard. Like, I rarely ever see citrus and strawberries. I always see gluten and dairy and eggs, you know, and soy. And then next level were corn and peanuts. And then of course, sugar. So that's where that came from. And, you know, if you told me I was going to write a book on sugar 5 years ago, I would have said no way. But after I wrote the book on food intolerance and leaky gut, the next question I got asked all the time was about sugar. And I just, it still blows my mind how confused people are on that subject. And, you know, the food manufacturers don't make it easy for everybody. They really lead the charge in confusion, right? Mm-hmm. You know, confusion and distraction techniques. Like they'll put like all natural. They go, well, yeah, well, cyanide's natural. You know, arsenic's natural. That's like meaningless, people.
So true. I mean, I'm over here going, I want to propose marriage to you, like in a professional way, because everything you're saying so far, that could be a show in and of itself. So keep going. I don't want to interrupt you, but I already did. Seriously.
Okay, girl crush. All right. So that's where the next part came from, was once I did the food intolerance, literally, when I first started doing a food intolerance diet online, it was gluten, dairy, eggs, corn, and sugar, and peanuts and soy. And the only reason I included sugar was because I had to. Like, you know, it's not that people are developing an immune response to sugar. Sugar's crashing your immune system and screwing up your gut microbiome, but it's not the same as how you're going to react to dairy or gluten or soy. But I had to put it in. Like, how can you write a health book and not address sugar? But I didn't realize when I put it in there that it really needed its own, its whole own book. And as I started digging into it, you know, the glycemic index has really screwed us. I mean, on one hand, it's great because it started it making us look at sugar. But on the other hand, it made us look at sugar all wrong, because all the glycemic index does is looks at a 50 gram dose of a food and how much is it going to raise your blood sugar, which doesn't work for a variety of reasons. Number one, because we don't eat that way. Like, no one takes a 50 gram dose of carrots in isolation, just eats those, right? So they might eat a bag of chips, but they're not going to do that with carrots. So we have to look at food in combination, not isolation. But the biggest place where this really just ruins us is it makes one sugar look like it's awesome, and that's fructose, because fructose doesn't raise your blood sugar. So fructose reads low on the glycemic index, and so people think it's great. And that is one of the biggest reasons that we have the challenges we have now in health, is because of the fructose. You know, you can put no sugar added on a label, and it can add apple juice concentrate in it, and it will say no sugar added. And the biggest bummer about that is apple juice concentrate is higher in fructose than any other fruit apple juice is. So apple juice concentrate is just a fructose bomb. Yet people are avoiding high fructose corn syrup, but apple juice concentrate is worse. And so these are the issues. And you'll read something, you'll say, it's a low glycemic sweetener. Well, sure. So you've got agave, which is a low glycemic sweetener that's all fructose. Fructose is the most damaging sugar of all. It goes straight to the liver, the only organ that can metabolize it. It doesn't raise blood sugar, which seems like it'd be a super cool thing, except by not raising blood sugar, it doesn't trigger any of the satiety signals. So now you're still hungry. It actually creates more leaky gut issues. It's also more aging. It glycates, which is an aging process, 7 times more than any other sugar. It also feeds the worst cancers. And so it's just a disaster. It raises hypertension. It's interesting, in lab rats, they'll use fructose to bring on hypertension. So like, this is the pre-diabetic, hypertension, cancer promoting, you know, and it makes you hungrier, and you are better at storing fat, because it's like it goes to the liver and it's turning into fat. So it's just a disaster, and it's made to look like a health food.
You know, so much of what you're saying, and again, when I was getting ready for our interview, you know, I wanted to see if you had anything new that I was missing. And one of the things that struck me, or this was my opinion of you, and the more that you talk, I'm hearing it, you are so far from gimmicky. And when you mention things like low glycemic, and that there's folks out there, whether it's folks in my parents' generation, or, you know, I'm very passionate about reaching the fitness newbie, because I see people in my former corporate world before I left and founded Fitfluential, I know the type of people and the crap that they're eating and the excuses that they make for not getting healthy and what they think. You know, they think that getting healthy is chicken breast and broccoli and egg whites and, you know, eating, like, they'll think orange juice is healthy, and they don't understand all the things you said. But I also think that the media, whether it's magazines or television or this show or that show, they see something, they link onto a word like low glycemic, and they'll go, well, I'm eating fruit. Fruit's good for you. How could fruit be bad? And they think, like you said, fruit juice is good for you. And so I also think of, you know, gluten-free, and you talk about gluten as a food intolerance, but I just want everybody, as we continue talking, number one, I can't say strongly enough, you should go out and buy every single one of her books, because she knows what she's talking about. This is not a gimmick. This is obviously a woman who knows what she's talking about. And everything you're saying, JJ, is what I have been learning personally as someone who, you know, I started becoming a fitness fanatic, but I was eating a lot of crap food, artificial sweetener by the gallon every day.
Oh man, that's the worst, right?
Yeah. And I was like, but so many, and you know this, so many people in the fitness industry, they're like, that's cool, you know, Diet Coke, this, that, and the other, not to name names, but it's just, you don't know what you don't know. And that's why when I hear someone like you and the other folks we've interviewed, I'm like, this is the kind of information people need to start to really assimilate into their world. And so I commend you for the thorough job you're doing. Your website is great. Again, I want everybody to go there. I want you to buy everything of hers, because you will start to learn why all of this makes sense. So, you know, let me go back to a couple of the things that you just said, and you had so many gems there. I don't even know where to start. But, you know, you talk about low glycemic and fruit, and how do you deal with the fact that there are still, you know, you were talking about cardio and calories in, calories out. All of these messages and these, some of the times it's not our phrase, but we refer to them as myth understandings, right? This still permeates. Like, there are still these women that are going, I don't want to lift weights, it'll get me bulky. It is still very common for people to think that, you know, and sometimes it's even hard. I'm using myself as an example. You know, I still think I need to do more cardio when I feel fluffy. And I'm dealing with reversing a lot of hormonal issues. Why do you think a lot of these things about, oh, just go low glycemic or fruit is okay or go low fat and do excessive cardio? Why do you think that kind of stuff is still permeating today?
Gosh, it is so amazing that it's still pervasive. Here's what I'll tell you, Kelly. What really gets me about it, it breaks my heart when I hear it, because I know what it does. Here's what happens. You still hear, I mean, it is still out there that if you want to lose weight, you should eat low fat. In fact, someone just asked me to review their book, and this is someone who's going to have a huge New York Times bestseller. And I got the book, and one of the recommendations she did, well, if you want to lose weight, you should just cut your fat down more. And I'm like, I can't touch this book. Besides the soy and dairy recommendations, I was like, I can't touch this book. Sorry. I love, like, you know, some of your psychology, but there's no way, you know, it's like fruit's not a free food. Fat is not the demon. And I can't for the life of me figure out why this is still out there, why these myths won't die, because they don't work. And you see these people, and this is what breaks my heart. You see someone trying so hard. They're doing tons of cardio at the gym. You know, you walk into the gym, you see them. They're over there on the treadmill or the bike, and they're on there for like an hour plus, and they avoid the weight room because they're afraid it's going to make them get bigger. You know, gosh, 20 years ago, I think it was Miriam Nelson out of Tufts, did a study where she showed that when women lift weights, they get smaller. They get smaller, not bigger. They don't get bigger. You know, it's like, and I remember 25 years ago, I was in grad school and I read this study. And it was a study about women runners and women runners and how they were gaining weight when they weren't running, because they were destroying their metabolism, because they were burning up their muscle, the only thing holding on. So I can't for the life of me figure out why these myths are continuing on, why we are still at this point having a discussion that fat is bad. Why we are, yes, is fat bad? Yeah, go to the store and get those stupid vegetable oils on the shelf. Or, you know, yes, fat is bad. But I still look around and go, people are eating, you know, too many refined carbohydrates. I mean, this whole gluten-free thing, and I've gotten my butt kicked on the gluten-free. I've been attacked with people saying, you shouldn't tell people to eat gluten-free. They're going to miss nutrients. I go, what nutrients are they missing? Which nutrients? Because I can't figure out one thing when you pull out, you know, whole grains that's going to hurt them, that they're going to miss, that they couldn't get in better, you know, fiber in better places. But of course, they pull out gluten and they eat the gluten-free junk food, which is just as bad. Don't think that a gluten-free cupcake is any better than a cupcake. It's a cupcake. A cupcake's a cupcake. A cookie's a cookie, right? And all I can tell you is, you know, it's like more and more and more. You know, I love, like, when I came out with the Virgin Diet and Bill Davis was out with Wheat Belly, and then Perlmutter came out with Grain Brain, and now Peter Osborne's out with Pain in the Grain, I think it is. And then, you know, Masley wrote Smart Fats, and Mark Hyman wrote, I don't remember what the fat diet was he called. Anyway, it's like so good that it's like the big guns are coming out and saying these things and putting these shows on PBS where we can actually talk about it. Like, a lot of the stuff that we do, I remember I did a segment on Rachel Ray, and then I had to record a disclaimer after this silly time I did. I was like, okay, I did my little segment, and then they had to come up and I had to say something so that the Milk Advisory Board wouldn't be upset with me. I'm like, oh, geez. But PBS would let you say all these things as long as you had the science to back it up. And the bottom line with all of this stuff, and before I had the studies, like, I understood early on that there was something weird with people who were bloated all the time, where they just gained weight no matter what. I didn't understand it was small intestinal bacterial overgrowth because we didn't know about it yet, right? I understood early on that people who drank diet sodas, they seemed to get bigger, not smaller. They were getting fatter. You know, I didn't know at that point that it was feeding the gut microbiome and making us glucose intolerant. I just knew it was the case. So, you know, it's like the science, you can look at it and go, I don't need 10 studies. All I need to understand is the science that happens when you eat small meals 6 times a day. When I was, you know, early on starting this, we were taught you need to eat low fat and you need to eat 6 times a day. You should graze, which is the stupidest thing ever. Like,
I'm so glad you said that.
It oh my God, I used to graze all day long. Here's the crazy thing. Here I was in graduate school. This was before I finally switched when I was in doctoral school over to nutrition. I was exercise science. I ran out of classes, and then I switched over to nutrition. But Back then, I would sit there. I was eating very, very low fat. I would pride myself in eating 10 grams of fat or less a day. I was a mean bitch too, by the way. I was very crappy. I was super cranky and broken out. And my body fat, we were doing body fat testing in grad school. My body fat was like between 22 and 25%. And I was working out like an hour or two a day. It's crazy. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I have 15% body fat. It might be lower. It's like it'll go between like 13 to 15. I work out, 30 minutes, like hard. And I don't do anything like I used to. But, you know, all that grazing, every time you eat that little bit of food, you raise your blood sugar. If you're raising your blood sugar, you're raising insulin. If insulin's up, you're locking the doors to your fat cells. You're not burning off fat. So this whole idea we should be eating little bits of food all day long is just ridiculous.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. And again, I'll just ask you to marry me again because, I'm falling in love with you professionally speaking. The more that we talk, everything you're saying, I hope everybody that's listening to this episode, like listen to it again, buy all of her books, you know, and she didn't tell me to say that, you guys. I'm just saying, like, when I know somebody is legit, I'm going to tell you, like, this is the stuff you need to know. And again, you know, so much of what you said, these are topics that we're talking about on the show. And these are, it's sad because, yeah, a lot of this stuff is still permeating. But like you mentioned, not only you, but some of the other folks you mentioned, the authors, there's a lot of people that are starting to stand up and talk about the fact that, yeah, fat is not bad for you. And the more that we can get all these folks together, that's, you know, we want to play a part in this Fitfluential Radio and getting these messages out and explaining. It's a lot of education. But what's sad is, you know, you mentioned the Dairy Association, and we've started doing this show this week in health and wellness here on Fitfluential Radio. And we just take all of these random articles from all these various medical and nutrition sources. We talk about really what it means. Now, my co-host Kevin is much better at kind of tracking back the money that funds a lot of these studies that are out there that I think fuel these media, images and also messages that are out there that, you know, this causes heart disease, fat is bad for you, beef is bad for you. And it's sad because I think about, you know, your typical consumer in this country and probably elsewhere. How do they understand? They're so confused. I was home visiting Chicago and my mom says, can your dad and I have an egg a day?
And oh no, just, you know, egg whites, only egg whites.
Exactly. And they think, you know, because that's what they were told. And my dad ate all the stuff he was told and he still had quadruple bypass. But here's a question I'm going to pose this to you, because a lot of what you mentioned, you know, you talked about nutrition and how all of this stuff affects one another. What you eat affects your gut. Your gut is going to affect your fitness results. How you work out is going to affect, you know, your stress, which affects your hormones. You talked about thyroid, all that stuff. And it's all interconnected. Do you observe with the folks that you've worked with on a direct client basis, but also the questions that you get on your website and people that have read your book, do you find that people tend to compartmentalize when they decide, I'm going to get fit? They say, okay, well, I'm just going to, and they think, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get on that treadmill because I know I'm fat or I'm overweight. And so I'm just going to do excessive cardio because I've got to burn the fat. And they're not thinking about things like sleep or the quality of the food they're eating. You know, I was behind a guy in the grocery store the other day. He was buying a 6-pack of Coors Light and like 6 cases of, I think, Atkins bars. And I'm looking at him like,
I wish you'd taken a picture.
I wanted to Snapchat it. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I felt bad because I'm thinking, he thinks that that's okay. Like, well, I'm having all of these.
Totally okay. Because here's the cool thing. I don't know if you knew this, but if you if you do an Atkins bar and a beer and you're standing up, the Atkins bar will absolutely negate the beer. It's fantastic.
I thought so. I added some to my cart.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Oreos. I added like some Oreos and perfect. Some to-go pizza and we ate them all together.
That's perfect. As long as you're standing up again, it does. And don't write it in your food journal. It doesn't count. That's it. Exactly. There you go.
I think I started to ask you a question and then we just...
Yeah, I know what the question was. I was tracking you and I made a little note.
So, did you get it?
So here's the thing I would say is like what does it take to have a really healthy metabolism, be better than ever? Like my fiance at 52, I looked at him, I go, like, you are the hottest you've ever been in your life right now, aren't you? He goes, yup. And I'm like, yep, yay me. But I've been creating that, you know, it's like, we've got his sleep dialed. When I met him, he slept 5 hours a night. I'm like, that ain't going to work here, buddy. Now I've got him. He's a sleeper now. We've got his stressed out. He was super stressed. We got that fixed. We've changed his workouts. He used to do running. Now he just does burst training and resistance training. I picked up his fat a little bit. I raised it in the diet, which then he was having trouble keeping weight on. It's funny because Mark Hyman's a good buddy of mine, and Mark and my fiance look like brothers. They're the same size, same weight, same everything, and they both like eat exactly the same. And they're just, Mark was over the house. I'm like, look at you guys. Like, you can't keep weight on eating a high fat diet. Everybody should know this stuff. So, but I will tell you that, like, if someone comes in to see me, I used to see people one-on-one and work them through all the areas of weight loss resistance, but I wouldn't have them walk in and I go, okay, now we're going to get you sleeping, got to deal with your stress. We've got to go have your thyroid check. Let's make sure your sex hormones are balanced. Oh, are you detoxifying? Oh, let's look at your genes. So the first thing that I always do, because that will just make people like glaze over and freak, is I always want to see results right away, because I know for so many people, they've been trying so hard and they just feel like, oh, this is the way I'm supposed to be. It's my genetics. It's my age. It's whatever, blah, 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 misconception they have. So the first thing that I do is work with diet, because that's going to be a big needle mover quickly. Then once we get that dialed, and whether you're doing sugar impact diet or virgin diet, all of it for me is going through a personal discovery process to really see, connect the dots between what you're eating and how you feel. So you really know which foods work for you and which foods don't, because that's a very different message than I'm just going to have a little cheat day. Because if you know that, like, if you have a little cheat day with pizza, your fingers are going to swell up and you're going to break out because you've connected those dots, you don't want to have a cheat day. So I always start with food. And then once we dial that in, then we can start to look at, all right, let's get the exercise dialed in. You know, I used to, when I was a personal trainer, people would come in and they go, okay, I don't want to change my diet. I want to lose weight. I'm going to do it by exercise. I'm like, if you can figure out how to do that, you let me know. Because right. I can't tell you, that's not going to work. So
patent that.
Have fun there, you know? So, you know, that's to me the second part, because, hey, you want to lose weight, but you also want to look good naked. You're not going to unless you work out. You know, it's like if you just diet and lose weight that way, you're going to be one of those tofu people who's thin outside, fat inside, and not attractive when you take it all off. So I'm assuming that you probably want to get naked at some point somewhere. And so,
amen to that.
Right? Okay. So plus, you know, you got to have good bone density. I just was talking to someone the other day whose sister like slipped in the kitchen and broke her kneecap. I'm like, are you checking her? Like, someone shouldn't slip and break their kneecap. Like, there's something off here. You need to, you know, check their bone density. You want to have good metabolism. You want to have good insulin sensitivity. So, you know, exercise is what's really going to help you stay that way. But it's also going to help your body handle stress better. And then we start tackling, like, let's tackle sleep. There's no way you can be healthy and you can be lean and you can be fit if you are not sleeping well. Zero chance of it. In fact, you could be doing everything perfectly. If you're screwing up your sleep, it's going to get in the way of you being able to be healthy and lean. You might be able to fake it for a little while, but you will become insulin resistant and you will have hormone imbalances if you do that for long. So, you know, we just start working down that whole chain, but I always start one by one, because I think if you give people that whole thing of here's all the stuff, they just go, oh my gosh, forget it. You know?
Well, I love that you are, you know, obviously your approach is one of longevity, and that's what everybody, you know, it's lifestyle. You're not, I love that you're saying, hey, I'm going to start here and then we're going to branch out for this, because it's going to build, it's going to accumulate. And also just to reinforce what you are teaching about foods and insulin resistance, insulin resistance, sleep, etc. I've shared my own journey on the show, and I just had my blood work done a little over a year ago. And boy, when I saw my blood work, I was there was just a shitstorm of everything wrong with me. But, you know, my blood work was insulin resistance, hypothyroid, massive hormonal imbalance, zero testosterone. And I'm like, oh,
yikes.
Okay. Yeah. And I share my story because I realized how many women wrote into me and said, oh my God, I thought I was just getting older.
Yeah.
And so Number one, I want to share that, and I shared this on my blog last year, because what, you know, some of your foods that you talk about are corn and dairy and obviously artificial sweeteners. But when I discovered I was insulin resistant, and I started cutting out foods that I had done some research, and I realized, okay, you know, I was consuming unknowingly, really, a lot of products with corn in it, corn salsa, right? And I was having corn chips all the time. I cut out corn, I cut out white rice, and I cut out, I was having Ezekiel toast every morning. And I'm like, hey, but it doesn't have any wheat in it, it's healthy. And I remember Valerie Waters said to me, she was at my house, and she's like, that's sprouted wheat grain, Kelly? And I'm like, and literally, are you hearing me and going, oh my God, typical consumer? But I lost 9 pounds that I had not been able to lose around my core. Well, not just around my core, excuse me. I lost 9 pounds in 3 weeks when I cut those foods. So I'm just telling everybody that's listening, like, this woman knows her stuff, but I also witnessed it personally when I started to cut these foods.
It can be amazing what happens. You know, when you look at just autoimmune disease and how big, because you mentioned thyroid, and of course, you know, thyroid, you've got Hashimoto's and autoimmune disease. How many people have these things and food, crappy foods, like at the middle, at the core of all of it, right?
And they don't know it. They don't know what they don't know.
No. So, and I believe we're not out, hey, you know what? Like, Twinkies went out of business. We're not out buying ding dongs. We're actually out. I watch people at the store. I love to be a store stalker and see what people are buying. And people are trying to make good choices. They're just being duped by misinformation.
It's so true. And, you know, I have to point out, because I did not realize your age, JJ. And of course, you're a hottie. I mean, I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, you look amazing. So I thought maybe you were going to say you were early 40s, if that. And the fact that you're mentioning your fiance, I believe you said he's 52. My co-host on the show, Kevin, is 52. And I'm telling you, like, he's had his own transformation story. He's the one who really has been guiding me in learning about fats, not needing to do excessive workouts. Like, he's like, Kelly, you don't need to be in the gym for 2 hours, 6 days a week. Stop it. And no, you know, cut the cardio. And I've probably tripled my fat intake, because I too was worrying about how many grams of fat and using my Fitness Pal. But I'm telling you, and I hope everybody that's listening knows, fitness is not just about how you look. It's also not just reserved for folks that are in their 20s. You look amazing. My co-host Kevin is 52. He's got a better physique than most 20-year-olds. And that is extremely possible when you focus on making this a lifestyle and focus on eating the right foods, paying attention to, I mean, let me ask you this. We talked about food labeling and folks in the grocery store, and that you're watching what they're putting in their cart. You know, is it as simple as saying, look, avoid those middle aisles and stick to, you know, real foods and buy organic? Do you find that people that are coming to you for the first time as a client, or maybe reading your books, they're completely confused? And when they hear that, they think, oh, that's too expensive. I'm not going to do it. I need to have that lean cuisine, or I need to have that drive-through meal because I'm all about convenience. Do you hear that resistance a lot?
You know, I think by the time they get to me now, they're just fed up. Yeah. And the challenge is, you can't just give someone the guidance of, first of all, if you did just go around the outer part of the store, you're going to save money anyway. The expensive stuff is the stuff that's been processed and prepared. So that's the bottom line. When I went to the store, I actually did like a combo shop where I did everything according to my plan, and then like what a normal family trying to eat somewhat healthy would have bought. And it was $36 cheaper to follow my plan than to do that. So it's the processed stuff, like bottled salad dressing, all that kind of stuff that costs the money. But you can't just then say, oh, it's the outside of the supermarket, because there's juice, there's fruit. Fruit is not free food. I mean, in Sugar Impact Diet, I take people off fruit altogether for a couple weeks, so that they become, the more fructose you eat, the better you get at transporting fructose to the liver and making fat. So I don't want people to be good at that. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be good at making fat. At all.
Amen.
Right? Like, I want to suck at that. So, you know, we pull out of that. So the challenge is, you still really need to know how to eat correctly. Like where should you be doing, you know, where should you be really focusing? Obviously, as many non-starchy vegetables as you can do. I'm never worried if someone's going to OD on broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I haven't seen it yet. And lots of healthy fats. And then, you know, the ideal amount of protein. Protein's not something to gorge on. It's where I sometimes, when I look at any diet out there, whether it's vegan, paleo, pegan, you know, whatever the heck someone's doing, and they all end up with like a junk food side to them. Like I keep looking at going, paleo treats, come on, stop it. You know, stop it. This is like, should not be. And so it's like
paleo wine.
You know? Yeah. It's like,
so paleo beer.
Yeah. It's just like any of these types of things. Hey, eat a lot of vegetables, eat healthy fats, eat optimal amounts of protein, eat a little bit of low impact carbs. That's it. Simple. This is not hard. That's it.
You know, I know that you talk about, and I'm so going to be diving into your books even more because as I was researching, I'm like, God, not only is this everything we're talking about the show, this is everything I'm doing and correcting as a, you know, fitness fanatic that was too much junk going into my body, too much stress, too little sleep. So I'm using myself as an example for everybody, but this is what I need to be paying attention to too. And I know one of the things you talk about is artificial sweeteners.
Oh, now, the devil.
Yeah. And so I'll be honest with you, you know, probably a year and a half ago before I got the blood work done, I was a yellow packet junkie. I mean, if you opened my purse, you'd go, do you have stock in this company? What's going on here? It was embarrassing how much, like a cup of coffee that I made a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, was the size of my face. And I would put 6 packets of yellow stuff in it.
Ew.
And then my creamer was fat-free, sugar-free, you know, caramel.
Oh.
And I was yeah, it only has 90 calories. But now, you know, I'm completely different. My question to you is, for folks that are listening, do you go as far as, because then there are people, and I'm asking you this too, do you go so far as to say, don't even do stevia? Or is it that stevia and certain sweeteners are okay? What's your take on that? And what's been your research? What do you see?
So when I created the Sugar Impact Diet, I was determined to prove that I could get people to get rid of their sweet tooth. So my total goal is to get you to appreciate savory and sour and spicy and salty. I feel that we underutilize sea salt. It's one of the most amazing nutrients out there. And so I have a tapering program to get people to get rid of their sweet tooth, but I also don't see an issue with using little bits of stevia or monk fruit or xylitol or erythritol. The nice thing with any of those is you're not going to OD. Like if you OD on xylitol, you'll have the worst gas ever. So you won't do it.
So true. And I've been there.
Like, wow. It's just like, it's room clearing. And, you know, stevia... It just has that really nasty aftertaste. So I think those things are okay in moderation, but my biggest goal is to get you to taper down that stuff, appreciate vanilla, appreciate like cinnamon's the baddest ass sweetener ever because it helps balance blood sugar. So appreciate more of those things, use small amounts of the other, you know, I don't want someone just cranking up their sweet tooth either. But I think what we've got to do is like go in and work on what I do is tapering and swapping. So I'd much rather see someone use stevia or monk fruit or xylitol or erythritol than any of the artificial sweeteners, which are, you know, you are far better off using sugar than any of the artificial sweeteners. So, and the studies show that if you're choosing between a Diet Coke and a Coke, have a Coke. Now, don't have either, but if you're going to choose between either of them, the Coke is going to be better. So
that's so interesting that you say that because the first time I was out with my co-host Kevin and we went to eat and he said, you know, he was just explaining like, look, I eat so well now that when I do go out, you know, yeah, I'll have a cheeseburger with the bun on it. You know, I try to eat, you know, the grass fed. I try to go to a place that has grass fed, but he's like, I'll have a Coke, you know, occasionally. I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
And he goes, yeah, but if I'm not going to have a diet. So, and he said the same thing, like it's very rare that I've seen him. He'll usually get a lemonade, but I think it's the same premise that and that's hard for a lot of people to wrap their head around that it would be better again, in limited cases to actually have real sugar than to be, you know, shoveling in, like I was doing, 6 yellow packets going, this is awesome. It's 0 calories. And so, yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. Let me ask you this, because I need to respect your time, and I want you to tell folks everything that they can find on your website and what you've got coming up. But, you know, some of the intolerances that you mentioned, and I know you go into detail in your books about this, but, you know, you mentioned dairy. And I know that I figured out very late in life that I had a massive intolerance to dairy, and cutting it out has done wonders. You also mentioned skin. It's done wonders for my skin, and it's done wonders for my not walking around bloated all the time. You know, for all the folks that are listening, is that, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Do you think a lot of people listening should try, like that everyone should try eliminating dairy? Because I was having this conversation with my mom, and a lot of people, I think, just think, well, I should. I've got to have cottage cheese. I've got to have yogurt. Do you think it's important that everybody see, you know, test out dairy, that it's very common, that most folks are intolerant to that?
When I was doing food sensitivity testing, 70% of the people I tested reacted to dairy or eggs. I think that everyone, okay, so here I'm going to be bold, but this is the way I am. I think everyone needs to do elimination diet. I think it should be the front line thing that you do, and you need to do it at least once a year, because you can get leaky gut at any point. I mean, one of the biggest triggers for leaky gut, your gut becoming more permeable, so you react to foods. And the most common food offenders for this are dairy, gluten, eggs, corn, soy, peanuts. But so it's like, just because you did it once doesn't mean that you're off the hook, because you can develop leaky gut at any point. And it's going to be the foods. One of the classic signs of a food intolerance is craving a food. So if you tell me, because I've had people say, I can't give up my cheese. It's never, I can't give up my broccoli. Never, never once. You know, it's always either the cheese or the muffin. It's gluten or dairy. These are drugs. They have an opiate-like effect on the brain. They're absolutely drugs. So I think everybody, it should be, you have someone coming in because they've got an autoimmune disease. They've got ADD. They've got depression, their arthritis, acne, gas and bloating, anything they have, first thing, that's what they should do. That's it. I know that's a bold statement. I had chronic acne for decades. I was on Accutane. Nothing was fixing it. I freaking fixed that in a couple of days by pulling dairy out. Do you know how pissed I was? I was like thrilled and angry. You know, I mean, all that toxic crap that I did to myself, so bad. And the chronic bloating, I had someone ask me once if I was pregnant. I was an aerobics instructor, and they asked me if I was pregnant. And I was like, you know, I'm like, oh, when are you due? I'm like,
thanks. Thanks for stopping in. The class is over.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Thanks so much. But you know, and all that throat clearing all the time.
Oh my God. If I indulge and I'm going to have, you know, like a piece of pizza and I have a little bit of cheese, I will be clearing my throat for an hour.
So I have to tell you about something though that we did create. Cause it was in Italy last year with a bunch of friends, and we brought enzymes that help digest gluten and carb blockers. this supplement that blocks the production of amylase enzymes. So you start producing amylase to break down your starchy carbs, and it stops it. So you can't break them down, you poop them out. So I'm thinking, ha ha ha. I will bring this with me, right? So we eat everything. I lose weight. I have no issues because gluten kills me, makes my fingers swell. Now, granted, the gluten in Europe is not hybridized like and genetically engineered like ours here, but still, I come home and I'm like, wow, that was like really awesome. And we're all laughing at the office. I go, I'm going to make this product that helps you digest gluten, dairy, soy, so that if you are stuck somewhere, it's like the go ahead, eat the pizza, and it'll have a carb blocker, and it'll be great. We'll call it Hall Pass. Then we go, oh, we can't do that. Then people are going to be like pigging out. So we actually created the product so that if you are somewhere, you're like, screw it, I'm eating the pizza, then you've got the safety net for it. But it really was more of like, my fiance is super gluten intolerant and we don't eat gluten, but somewhere he's been getting it because it just showed up on a test. And I said, you know, the problem is if you're eating out, you can be being super diligent. And there are the places now that have the gluten-free menus, but you can, you never know. And I always know when I got hit because my stomach, I just get major stomach cramps. So I'm like, damn it again. So I just carry it with me now. And so I don't have that. So it is kind of the go ahead, eat the pizza, but not really. I saw that my team was like, had a little ad that's like, go ahead, eat the pizza. I go, guys, do not put that anywhere. I'm like, no, don't do it. But it is more that when you do go out and if you are at a place where you can't totally trust it, because those things happen, then posed.
This is, I mean, too, and again, this is, we need to wrap up because I know you have to hop, but that's a good segue for us to wrap up. But again, I do want everybody to just really pay attention to what we've talked about here. And when you do start taking care of yourself, and I encourage you, you know, I'm going to get back to looking at everything. I've changed my diet so much, but you know, one of the things I did cut out recently is I was having stevia every day, and I've cut it out, and I've noticed a noticeable difference. But I want you to, first of all, everybody just know when you start changing your diet, you will be blown away by how much horribler, that's not even a word, I just made it up, horribler you'll feel when you do indulge in some of the crap that you used to eat. It'll amaze you. So JJ, I know you have to go. It's been seriously amazing to have you on your show. I will absolutely stalk your assistant later to see if we can get you back on next year. But just to wrap up, tell everybody, you know, what you've got coming up. Tell them about your four books, what you've got on your website, where they can best find you and start becoming addicted to all the great stuff you're putting out there.
Thank you. Let's see. The website's jjvirgin.com. We just put out a ton of content. I have a podcast. We do a bunch of recipes and exercises and all sorts of fun stuff every single week. Because you know what? Early on, I decided I never wanted anyone to say, oh, you know, I couldn't go on the program because I couldn't afford it and I couldn't find it. It's like, it's all right there. So, you know, whatever level you want to do, we've got books, we've got online programs, we've got everything so you can just dive in and do an immersion. My next big book comes out in February. That has been the most challenging, difficult thing I've ever done, because it's really the story of how I saved my son's life. My son was the victim of a hit and run just when my first big book was coming to print, and you know, hit and run, left for dead in the street, and 4.5 months in the hospital in a coma. We've been bringing him through a severe traumatic brain injury. He woke up and stared off into space and did not know who he was, and we had to start all over again. So you know, next big book is all about the mindset it took to not turn into a victim and have a pity party, and to be able to decide early on in the hospital that he was going to be 110% and that this was going to be the best thing that ever happened to all of us and to people out there in the world. And already now, it is starting to turn into that. It has not felt like that for a long, lot of it. I was like going, I must be crazy. This is like, you know, this isn't looking very positive, but he has now turned the corner, and I am determined to like change the way we handle brain injury. 17 million people a year hurt their head. It's a huge epidemic, and no one knows because they look fine.
That's I want everybody, obviously they're going to go to your site, but you have that whole page and you reference what happened to Grant, and you're just a remarkable woman to not only be sharing that story, but you know, have found a cause, and I would love to help support you as far as, you know, getting the word out about that as well. I do want to thank you again for being on the show. It's been extraordinary talking to you. I'm fired up to dive into all of your books and everything on your site. And like I said, we hope to get you back on the show. Thank you so much. Everybody, I hope you dive in. I can't recommend strongly enough that you go immediately and buy all of her books, get on the waiting list for her book that's coming out next year. And again, JJ, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.